Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to move forward in the Word of God? I know I am. It is a great word this morning. I am thankful. I am grateful. I am blessed to be a child of God and to know that He is good all the time. Hallelujah. He is good all the time. Whew. That you have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, is my word for today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for another day. Father God in heaven, I come to you right now, lifting up the name of Jesus, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be your daughter, to be your child, to be called a son of God. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that you have chosen me to give this word, God. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, Lord, I lift up, looking up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah, praise. In Jesus' name. Father God, let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits. Amen. Thanking God today for his grace and his mercy and for his goodness and his kindness, because he is good. He is good. I just want to take a minute to just let God permeate our spirit. Let God just get us where we need to go. And I just have a moment where God just put in my spirit just a quick moment of worship.
Each and every day I will seek your face. My soul is crying out for more. I want more of you. Oh, I won't be satisfied nor content of where I am. Whoa. So I will apprehend till I'm captured by what I'm after, and I will go from faith to faith, from glory
I will go. I will go. And the word that God gave me for this morning is direct my steps by your word. And as we were listening to our music of worship this morning, I will go. It's the word that stuck out to me. I will go. Will you go where God sends you this morning? Will you do what God tells you to do? Will you walk where God tells you to walk? Will you talk as God tells you? Say what God tells you to say. I will go. I will go. Direct my steps, oh Lord, is what we need in our heart today. We have so much turmoil and confusion and just downright crazy going on in our world. And we need God. We need God more than we've ever needed him before. As the song says, if I ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. We need him every day and every hour. Direct our steps, God. And let's get into our word this morning. Please get your Bibles. We are going to be coming out of Jeremiah chapter 51 to chapter 52. We'll also be coming out of the 119th Psalm, verses 129 to 136, which is also where our title comes from, Direct My Steps by Your Word, which is verse 133 of the 119th Psalm. And it continues with, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28, verse 7 and 8. And we are in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, which is basically Titus chapter 2. And we will be finishing Jeremiah today. On tomorrow, we will be in Lamentations. And so just get ready. We got a lot of words coming up in these next few weeks before we end on December 31st. Praising God every day. And he has allowed us to read his word to this second day of November. So the word of God says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in Libya to mine, a destroying wind. And I will send renowned to Babylon, who shall renown her and empty her land. But the day of doom, they shall be against her all around, against her. Let the archer bend his bow and lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her armies. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets. But Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah. By his God, the Lord of hosts, through that land was healed, which then against the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, but this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drunk her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Take her and let her go, everyone, to his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up to the sky. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make the arrows bright. Gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of Medes. For his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon. Make the guard strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasure, your end has come. The measure of your covetousness, the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself. Surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors in from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image. For his molded image is faulted, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of error. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, but he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are my battle axe and weapons of war, for with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen, and with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. Chapter 51 of Jeremiah, starting at verse 24. For those that are just joining us, we are in verse 24 of the 51st chapter of Jeremiah. And it says, and I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Kabila, and all the evil they have done, for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rock. Whew, God, don't play. Roll you down from the rock and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, for you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Set up a banner in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call the kingdoms together against her. Ararat, Menon, Ashkenaz. Appoint a general against her. Cause the horses to come up like the prickling locusts. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors, and all its rulers, all the land of its dominion, and the land will tremble and sorrow. For every purpose the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They have remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They became like women. They have burned her dwelling place. The bars of her gate are broken. One runner will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on all sides. The passages are blocked. The reeds have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified. But thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a thrashing floor. When it is time to thrash her yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured men. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. The violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, and my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will please your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions. Well, in their excitement, I will prepare their feast. I will make them drunk, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with nailed goats. Oh, how Shishak is taken. Oh, how the praise of the whole, how Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring out of his mouth what he has swallowed. And the nations shall not stream to him anymore. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people go out of the midst of her. Everyone delivers himself from the fierce anger of the Lord, unless your heart faints and your fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land. A rumor will come 1 year, and after that in another year. A rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall be fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon, for the plunderer shall come to hear her. Shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You have get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuary of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. Through though Babylon were to mount up heaven. Ooh, what a word. God is in charge. He is, all we have to do is follow his word. And it tells us, and I'm going to start back at verse 52 of chapter 51 of Jeremiah. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on our carved image, and through our own land the wounded shall groan. So Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, the great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice. So her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered, because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. For the Lord is the God of recompense. He will surely repay. And I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors, her deputies, her mighty men. Wow. God does not play. Her governors, her deputies, her mighty men, and they should sleep a perpetual sleep. In other words, they're going to die and not awake, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. That says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sisera, the son of Mira, the son of Mishira, when he went to Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Sisera was the quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in the book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that were written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sisera, when you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, then you shall say, O Lord, cut it off, so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophic catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Whew, a lot of words. But God, again, giving us understanding. And when we go back to our life lesson, which is from Dr. Charles Stanley, and the life lesson from Jeremiah 51 comes out of verse number 5. But Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah by its God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Verse 6. Jeremiah knew that while God would certainly judge his people for their sins, he would never completely abandon them. He had promised Abraham that he would be with them forever, and he always keeps his promises. One thing we can take to the bank, God always keeps his promises. Whatever the Lord says that he will do, he will do it. Good, bad, or ugly in our estimation, whatever God says he will do, if you need chastisement, he will chastise you. If you need to be made whole, he will make you whole. But sometimes God will break us to remake us, because he is the potter and we are his clay. Let's continue in our word this morning. And again, we are in the book of Jeremiah. We are actually finishing it up right now with chapter 52. Wow, we read a lot of work. And I ask God to help us all retain what we have heard, what we have read, what we know. Help us to retain it, even if we don't have this book with us. We can ask God, God, show me what to do. Ooh, Lord, thank you. Wake me up, Lord Jesus. But the enemy will try to put you back to sleep when you get up early. And as a note, side note, before we get into chapter 52, church announcement, we will be broadcasting at 6 a.m. on tomorrow. Again, our blog on tomorrow will be at 6 a.m. I have my grandchildren with me, and they have to be in school. And so I have to have them there at 8 o'clock. And I can't be blogging at 8 and be with my grandchildren, getting them to school on time. So I thank you all for being with me and hope that you can join me live on tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. If not, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and you can hear all the shows I have done over the course of this year. So if there's a Bible verse you want to hear again, blogtalkradio.com, Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. So thank you so much for listening in. Let's continue in our word this morning. Chapter 52 of Jeremiah. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah, ending chapter 51. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king. And this is an overview. This is a recap of what we read in Jeremiah, what we read in Chronicles, what we read in Kings. This is all, again, an overview from the prophet of the time. The time. Jeremiah was the prophet of the time. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Samuel, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. But because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem. Again, that's what happened. I'm so sorry. My mind is like, who, Jesus? The enemy will attack you. I thought I had enough rest on last night. I woke up this morning refreshed, renewed, and ready to go. And now it's like the enemy keeps attacking, like, you know you're sleepy. You know you're tired. Why don't you take a little nap? No, I will not. You know, I have got to fight this fight of faith. And we're going to read this word. And there's going to quit being these pauses, because I am not going to allow the devil to get anything out of today's word except for a punch in the eye, knowing that God is in charge and that God is the one that takes us where we need to go. So let's get back in this word. And we're going to start again at the beginning of chapter 52 with no pauses. You better get out of my face. Because no, not today. You got to have that not today in your spirit. You got to let the Holy Spirit come in, take over, take a seat, and protect your mind, your body, and give you strength to do whatever it is God calls you to do. Not today, Satan. This word is going forth. We are going back into Jeremiah chapter 52, and I'm not going to allow the enemy to try to make me tired. All of a sudden, I got tired. Started to yawn, couldn't think, and I'm like, oh, no, not today. Not today. And the word of God is going forth, and the word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 52, overview, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hophni, and the daughter of Jeremiah of Lebanon. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. But because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem, and Judah tells he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. He thought he was tough. And it says, and now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, that they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, and the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled and went out of the city at night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were near the city all around, and they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he killed all the princes of Judah in Riblah. He also put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in bronze feathers, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison to the day of his death. Wow. Kill your children and put out your eyes. That's some horrible stuff. And as it goes on, it says, and now in verse number 12, now in the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Belshazzar, the captain of the guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poor people, the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had deserted the king of Babylon. And the rest of the craftsmen, but Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, let some of the poor of the land, and left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord and the carts and the bronze seed that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the bronze. I'm just having a moment, y'all. Just give me strength, Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, and I'm praising God, and I'm thanking God. The basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pans, the lampstands, the spoons, the cups, whatever was solid gold and whatever was solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. In other words, they tore up the house of God. And that's why they weren't going to win. You think you got it going on, but they tore up God's house, the house that Solomon built. For the Lord, they tore it up, tore down the walls, took everything of value. Come on now. The two pillars, one seat, the 12 bronze bulls which were under it, and the carts which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. Now concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, a measuring line of 12 cubits could measure its circumference, and its thickness was 4 fingers. It was hollow. a capital of bronze was on it, and the height of one capital was 5 cubits, with a network and pomegranates all around the capital, all the bronze. The second pillar with pomegranates was the same. Therefore, 96 pomegranates on the sides, all the pomegranates all around on the network were 100. You think about what he and made of bronze and gold and silver, and think about what he took. The captain of the guard took Sisera, the chief, Ananias, the second priest, and the three doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 7 men of the king's close associates who were found in his city, the principal scribe of the army who mustered the people of the land. He took everything. And people. Not only did he take the stuff, he took the people. He took Greece. And it goes on to tell us that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon and Rabbah. When then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Rabbah in the land of Amos. Thus Judah was carried away captive to land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 people. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, think about this. He took everything. And in all, he took 4,600 people from their homeland. And I know that seems like a drop in the bucket, but he had already taken some before. And it says, now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month. Remember, they're only going to be captive for 40 years. No, 70 years. Jeremiah gave them 40 years to repent, which they did not. And then so 70 years in captivity. And so in the 39th year of his captivity. Now you think about this. I'm going to read it again because it permeates. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month of the 12th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, brought him up. And this is Merodach, who was not nice. And they called him evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. Wow. So Jehoiakim changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular portion given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for which each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. Wow. And when we go to a life lesson from Jeremiah chapter 52, since there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon. While Jeremiah had predicted that King Jehoiakim would die in Babylon, and he predicted that back in Jeremiah chapter 22, the false prophet Hananiah predicted that the king would return in triumph to Jerusalem, and that was Jeremiah 28. Guess who was right? Jeremiah. He went into prison, and he was there a long time. God in heaven, I thank you for this day. And as we get ready to go into our last words for this morning, I ask you to please lift up the name of Jesus today. The enemy is busy. He does not want the word of God to go forth. He does not want God's word to move forward. He wants us to stay in darkness, and we cannot. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We got to do what God says do. And as you know, when we go back to chapter 28 of Jeremiah, when Ananias was doing all his predictions, Jeremiah gave his prediction, gave his prophecy, not a prediction, a prophecy. Jeremiah was slapped by Ananias, slapped him. Jeremiah told him, you're going to die. And guess what happened? He died. Don't play with God and don't play with his people. And when we go into our 119th Psalm, verses 129 to 136 and 150. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and planted and panted. For I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is for those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word. We got to ask God to direct ourselves, because the enemy is busy. He will try to put you to sleep. He will try to take you out. We got to fight. I am fighting this morning. And it says, let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Two kids, I'll cry in a minute. God gives me this. When he touches my soul, I just can't help it. The tears come. I just a faucet. And I love God for it, because it's cleansing. It cleanses the mind. It cleanses the body. It cleanses the spirit. Proverbs 28:7-8. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of glutton shames his father. One who increases his possessions by usury, y'all caught that, and extortion, gathers it for him who will pity the poor. Usury. I had never heard that term until I started this assignment, reading the word of God, and the term usury came out in one of the words I was reading, and even in this word, and I thought, what does it mean? And I looked it up. Folks will use you, then you got for themselves. They have a spirit of usury. You know, we have to be very careful of the usury spirit, because it will come out of nowhere. And you thinking you're doing what God tells you to do, but in fact, you are not. You are allowing the spirit of usury to take control. And I'm going to tell you what it means. Usury, the lending or practice of lending money at an exorbitant interest, an exorbitant amount or rate of interest, used especially to excess of legal rate. Obsolete interest paid for the use of money. And that is the term for usury in Webster's dictionary. And then it goes on, and it says, the act or practice of loaning money at an exorbitant rate. But understand, it's for money lenders. But it will also be for those that borrow. They borrow and never repay. They borrow, or you borrow from them, and they charge you a lot. We have to be careful all the time. And as we continue in Titus, and it says this, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be shamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not proliferating, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adore the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and unworldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purifying for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak. These things exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. And some life lessons from this word this morning. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Leaders must make sure their worth following in both conduct and in what they teach. Competence are both necessary if the Church of God is successfully fulfill its mission. And I'm grateful that my pastor has been inputting this message in all of the leadership. We got to do our job. We got to move forward in what we are called to do. And as we go into Titus chapter 2, verse 12, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, just as we laid hold of salvation by grace through faith, so we laid hold of sanctification by grace through faith. By the power of grace, we daily crucify our flesh in order to live for God. And even when the enemy comes at you to try to make you tired, to try to make sure you don't get what you have to do done, the devil is a liar, and we got to quit giving him all the credit. Sometimes you just may be tired because you didn't get enough sleep. So, Lord God, I ask forgiveness, forgiving credit where credit is not due. And the last word we have is from verse number 14. And it says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. Purify for himself his own special people. Zealous of good work. Do these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. God in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us this mighty word. It tells us the object of Christianity is not to sin less, but to glorify God more. It is not to somehow stop ourselves from doing the bad things we really want to do, but find ourselves craving to do what pleases God. We got to trust God today. Keep him first in everything that you're doing. And know that he loves you more than anything. And he will wake you up and get you doing what you need to do. So, Father God, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and am glad in it. I say it again, God, because I am happy to be your child and to know that I am loved by you. So, Father God, as we get ready to wrap it up, our word from Sister Carolyn this morning, from Carolyn's gift is this, God does not treat us according to our sins, all up in the word this morning, like we do one another. He treats us based on the genuine love he has for us all. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. And before we go, our scripture, word in prayer this morning pray for others. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And that's James chapter 5, verse 16, NLT. Wonderful God, in your wisdom, you set us in families and communities. You know that we needed each other. Family was your design from the outset of creation. You wanted us to share our lives with each other. I'm so thankful that I was never meant to be alone. I'm not a substance, but life gets to be too much to bear. Help me to reach out to those around me for help. Help me to pray consistently for the people in my life. I know my faith will be strengthened as much as theirs will be in answers to prayers. I have seen your power at work in my village of friends, and it leaves me wanting more. Build me up as I live within the context of community, sharing in both the victories and the burdens that we walk through. I will know you more as I live with the grace given in relationships. When is the last time you prayed with a friend? And I can honestly say, on yesterday. I thank God for our Tuesday afternoon prayer time at our church with our pastor. So thank you, Pastor, for doing what you do. Keep God first. Pray for each other. Lift each other up. Let us not tear each other down. Let's keep our tongues behind our teeth as we move forward with God and in his word. Again, forgive me for my moments and lapses of not having enough rest. So God, forgive me, and may you all forgive me so that I do what God says, which is go to sleep. So thank you so much, Kevin. As I read today, that's all I have. May the Lord watch me community while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, and I say to you this morning, please continue to keep Mother Rita and her family in your prayers. And ask God to keep you covered. I am.